King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be with you tonight. I wonder if we could just sing another song, if that'd be all right. Amen. Just like to get in the atmosphere here tonight. Amen. Let's sing God Alone. Amen. If we could sing that. Amen. Amen. We want to leave behind all distractions. Amen. We want our affections to be on Him tonight. We want Him to be God alone. Amen. We don't want to... There's lots of things that are vying for our attention in this hour. Vying for our affections. But let's let Him be God alone tonight. Amen. Amen. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your grace. That's just the way it is. You're the only You're the only God whose power there's no question tonight. None can contend. You're the only God whose name and your praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way. Mighty God tonight, amen. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. You are God. That's just the way.
Unshakable, you're unshakable. right now. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Hallelujah.
Oh, give my hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's bow our heads tonight as we worship Him. Father, we thank You, Lord. Oh, that You are God of heaven and earth, but most of all, You're God on the throne of our hearts tonight, Lord. You're a present God, a present help in time of trouble. Lord, we look to You tonight, oh God, for everything that we have need of. Lord, we ask You to move tonight in Your word, Father. We've worshiped You in spirit, Lord. We want to worship You in truth, Lord. We pray that You just move and continue to move in this service, Lord. Move on these young people, Lord. Move on the middle age, the old people alike, Father. We pray that You would have the preeminence here tonight. Lord, to do whatever You want to do, Father. We submit ourselves to You. We surrender. We say, oh God, have Thy way, Lord. We're Yours tonight, Lord. We honor You, Lord. We worship You. We pray that You just bless Your word, Father. The preacher, the hearer alike, Father. Each one, Lord, may You anoint each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, as Your word comes forth tonight, we thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to be here tonight with you. Amen. While you're standing, let's just look at the Word of God. Amen. I won't have you sit and stand and sit and stand, so we'll just read the Word while you're standing tonight. We only have two scriptures to start with. We'd like to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and then John chapter 1, verse 10. Thank you, musicians. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Amen. That's one of those scriptures that says shall. Amen. Not maybe, kind of, sort of. Right. And it doesn't say some either. Right. It says all shall. Amen. We don't like to, we like the one that says, you know, the positive, right? That all will overcome and they shall lay hands on the sick and right, but this is part of the word too. All shall suffer persecution. And then John 1:20, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. If the world knew Him not, that means they'll know you not too. Amen. Amen. So tonight we'd like to speak about the oddball. Amen. The oddball. Amen. It's good to be back with you tonight. I don't want to be remiss to just greet our brother Danny and our brother Benjamin. Amen. We just are appreciative of their presence with us tonight. Amen. We had some nice fellowship with them Friday. We went up to Sabino Canyon and saw some of the sights up there. Fortunately, it was one of the hottest. It was a record-breaking day, one of the hottest days in September. But, amen, the brothers are troopers. Amen. They persevered. Amen. And so we were able to have a nice time there, nice fellowship. And I understand that we weren't here this morning. We missed Brother Danny preach a wonderful message. Yes, amen. Yes. Amen. Did you all appreciate it?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. So God bless you, Brother Danny. We were up in Wachuca City this morning, preaching for Brother Figueroa. He's out of town for his 50th wedding anniversary, so we were up there and then able to make it back home and back to here. Amen. So we're here tonight. Amen. This is our monthly service dedicated to our youth. Amen. So we're thankful for each and every one of you. Amen. I was sitting up here thinking, y'all look so good sitting there on the front. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're all just a testimony, a credit, amen, to your families, and amen. It's a pleasure, amen, to see such young people in this day, amen. So God bless you, amen. I pray that the Lord would speak to you tonight, amen, and minister something that you might have need of. Amen. So we want to speak about the oddball. Amen, the oddball. And what we'd like to do is, so this scripture here, these two scriptures that we read, speaking about persecution, and, you know, persecution doesn't always take the form maybe that we think. You know, we think of people being sent to the lions, or, you know, we think of Daniel in the lion's den, and certainly those are times of persecution, but sometimes it's just simply, it can be something so simple as somebody not being your friend, amen, or somebody just shunning you or just saying something about you. That alone is persecution, right? So these things come, and the Bible, where we read here in John chapter 1, where it says that the world was made by him, Christ, but the world didn't know him. And so we can expect that if he is in us and we are like him, amen, that the world wouldn't know him in us. Amen. Just like it didn't recognize him. So when we look at being an oddball, we're looking at it from that perspective. Amen. That he was the original oddball, if I could put it that way. Amen. I don't mean to be blasphemous, but he was, right? He was. And an oddball, what it means is it means somebody who doesn't fit in. Right? It's somebody, they say that person is an oddball. They say, well, they're strange or eccentric. They don't fit into the norm. They don't fit into what we would normally expect. Amen? And that's what Jesus was. He was the original oddball. So if he's an oddball, how can we expect to be any different? Amen? Now, I'd like to also read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that's the world, amen? It's to them, it's foolishness, amen? So church is foolishness to the world, amen? But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. We recognize what it is, amen? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Those that think they're so smart, they're so worldly wise, yet God says, I will destroy and bring them to nothing. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Who can come and argue against God? Amen. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. And it's only foolishness. He's using that word because it's foolish to the world. They look at it and they say, that's crazy. That's foolishness. What you're doing, that's strange. That's oddball stuff. That's eccentric. That's foolishness. Amen. And so he's using their terminology. By the foolishness of preaching has the power to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Amen? We're not Greek, but we are represented by the Greeks. Amen? We are Western culture. Much of what we know and think of is based upon Greek thinking. Amen? So our society is like the Greeks. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. So to them, it is foolishness. We shouldn't expect it to be any other way. Amen. Why would we expect them to somehow understand through the wisdom of man? But they can't. He says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. To us, it's the power of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. I love that. Amen. The best, the strongest, the most intelligent that they could recruit, it's smaller than the weakness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I also like to read out of the Message identification. Brother Branham says, what a terrible time it was. He said, they just know that there was a malefactor under capital punishment that was going to die that morning, and that's all it was to them. That's all it is today to the people when they hear the message speaking about Christ and how he was thought of just as a crank, as another wild religious man. He was thought of as an oddball. Amen? And so the people, they heard about it. He said, that's all it is today to the people when they hear the message. Another wild man. Another holy roller. Or some religious crank. And I'm not saying that there isn't religious cranks. Amen? But he says, but did you only know that they call them oddballs? Well, listen, anybody that's living right is an oddball to this modern world. Amen. So we find ourselves, amen, firmly in this category tonight. If we're living right. If we're living right, we are an oddball to this modern world. We're all oddballs, he says, as so to speak. Excuse the worldly expression. But it's the only way I know you was going to get what I'm talking about, see? Just an odd, peculiar person. Hallelujah. We're just odd, peculiar to the world. Amen. We're going to see later, we're not odd when we're where we belong. Amen. Jesus was that type of person. The prophets were them kind of persons. They come in the age when everything was getting all loose ends, and the prophets come and caught those loose ends and brought them back and shoved them out into people's faces and told them, the very God you claim you're serving will destroy you because you've gone away from his program. He said, that's the only path he can save you on, and they're always oddballs. In other words, what he's saying is they're bucking against the current trend, right? Everybody's going a certain direction, and the oddball comes and says, no, you're all going the wrong way. Right? And they're odd and they're strange because they're going against the current. They're going against the flow. Is that right? And that's what Jesus did. He, as the original oddball, he stood out. Amen. He didn't blend in with the crowds. And yet the world couldn't recognize who he was. Amen. They didn't recognize him as God the Creator. Because if they would have welcomed or recognized him, they would have welcomed him. They would have embraced him. Right? But to the majority, he was odd. He didn't fit in. He didn't fit in with the religious men of the time who should have been the ones to receive him. He didn't fit in with them. He didn't fit in with their ways. He came to stir it up. He even said himself, you think I've come to bring peace, but I've come to set men at odds with one another, to pit mother and against son, and right, to cause a war. Amen. To stir it up. He wasn't trying to be different. He was different. Amen. But he also wasn't trying to fit in. He was just being himself. Amen. He was being what God made him to be, called to be. And that was enough to make him an oddball. Amen. That was enough to make him someone that didn't blend in with the trend of the day. Now let's look at a couple more quotes here before we launch into this. This is from my commission. It says, he told me I would know the diseases by taking a hold of a person's hand first. If I be reverent and go on, it would come to pass that a certain time I would be able to then to know the things that people done in their back life, and to be able to tell them what would be before them. And then while I studied a moment, he referred to the scriptures that I many times do about Jesus of Nazareth. So that the angel is giving him his commission and he's telling him about his ministry. And so he says, and he referred me to the scriptures. And Brother Brown takes comfort in that, of Jesus of Nazareth, knowing that he was misunderstood. He let me know that I would be misunderstood. Sure. Amen. Amen. That was important to our messenger, to be able to see that the reason when he was misunderstood, it was because Christ that was in him was misunderstood. Amen. He says, it let me know that I would be misunderstood. And I am misunderstood by many. But I'm very thankful that many have believed the message and Jesus was misunderstood. But look, brother, sister, if our Lord was misunderstood and our messenger was misunderstood, doesn't it follow that we would be misunderstood as well? He says, this is Jehovah Jireh. He says, now take a look at yourself in God's mirror and see if you can identify yourself tonight. If you've been living in the days of Noah, the time of the flood, what side would you have been identified with? If you were living in the days of Moses, what side would you have been on? Amen. Now, in those days, you couldn't hang out in the middle. Anybody that tried to hang out in the middle ground in Noah's day didn't get on the ark. You were either on or you were off. With Moses, you either went across or you didn't. Amen. People that tried to hang out in the middle ended up going down into a pit in the desert. They ended up dying in the wilderness. But there was those that went over and those that didn't. Amen. That followed Moses' message all the way to the promised land. So it's one or the other. So he's asking, what side would you have been on? Amen. There wasn't three. There was only two. Amen. He says, if you have lived in the days of Christ, when all the churches was against him, he had to stand alone out there in the things that he did. Amen. He had to stand alone. The only thing was God was with him. That's the only thing. He says, even all his disciples nearly walked away from him. But what side, just in your present state now, what side would you have been on? What side would you have been on now when you see him again right among us? Amen? That brings it home to today. What side are we on? Amen? We choose. Choose this day who you will serve. Amen? He says, what side would you be on right now when you see him again right among us? And now he's here. He can turn the light on in your heart and fill your life with the Holy Ghost. How many with your heads bowed would pray with me just for a moment? Amen. So we see these things where Jesus himself being an oddball. Amen. And these different examples in the scripture that our prophet gives. Now, I'm glad that Jesus didn't blend in. I'm glad he wasn't just like one of the other religious leaders. Amen? Because he wouldn't be our Messiah if he did. Amen? If he just blended in, it would just been just another Jewish teacher. They thought he was that for a while, but you think about that. What makes him unique or what makes him who he is that he did stand out. That he was willing to stand alone. That he was willing to bear a reproach. That he was willing to take the brunt of the devil's attack. That he was willing to be called different. They called him Beelzebub. They called him all kinds of names. They called him a bastard. Amen? They called him crazy. He looked absurd. He said things that they thought were he was mad. The great intellectuals of the time said, this is a crazy man. He's a vampire. Brother Graham dramatizes, right? Different things he said. He's crazy. He's a vampire. He wants us to drink his blood. He's a cannibal, or he wants us to be cannibals. Right? All of these things. He had to bear the reproach of that. He had to be called strange and called an oddball. But he did all of that because of who he was. And if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't be the Messiah. He wouldn't be your Savior. Amen? God's wisdom is so much higher that it seems foolish. It's so high it seems foolish. Yeah. Amen? The scripture that we started out reading there in verse 22 about the Greeks seeking wisdom, that is our culture. Our culture seeks wisdom. It seeks knowledge. It wants to know the wheres and the whys, and it wants to understand it with its mind. And that's the culture that we deal with today. That is our Laodicean age. Amen. It's all about science and intellectualism and reasoning. But we don't know God that way. Amen. That's higher. His wisdom is higher than that. So if we follow God's word, we will always be different. If we follow God's ways, we won't fall in with the way the world goes. Because it's opposite. Amen? It's different. It's at odds with it. We must be different. Amen? And brother, sister, we shouldn't look at that as a bad thing. We want to be different. Amen? I'm glad we're different than the world. Amen? I'm glad that, let me put it this way, maybe it'll make more sense. And, you know, we're doing this because it's hard when sometimes when, you know, a young person, a big tendency is we want to fit in. And everybody wants to fit in, of course. But when we're trying to, we're growing and maturing, we have a strong desire to try and want to fit in. Is that right? But we must be different because the world is headed for hell. Amen? So if you don't want to go to hell, that means you have to be different.
Amen.
I mean, that's pretty simple, right? I don't want to be floating down the stream that leads to hell. I want to be going the other way. Even if that means I'm the only one going, I want to be the one going the other way. Amen. And others that are going the opposite direction are looking at me like, going, you're crazy. What are you doing? You're going this way. And we're all going that way. I don't want to go the way you're going. Amen. We must be different. Heaven bound for eternal life is different than earth bound headed for hell. Amen. Why would I want to be like somebody like that? Amen. Young people, we shouldn't fit in with people that are worldly. We shouldn't fit in with those crowds. Amen. You say, but it's hard. It's hard to be different. It is hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. It is hard. But in a sea of darkness, when there's a light shining, amen, that light is different. That light stands out. You can't hide it. Amen? And it has an effect. The problem is that the flesh wants to fit in. Amen? Our flesh, nature, our natural, it's easier. I just don't want people to notice. I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to notice that I'm always, sisters, I'm always wearing a dress, or I don't cut my hair, or I don't want people to notice that I don't cuss like they do, or I don't watch the things that they watch. I don't listen to the music that they listen to. I can't have fellowship with them. Come on, amen. Yeah. Amen. Naturally, we want to fit in. We want to be liked, and we want to do those things. Sure. Amen. But we are created by Him for a purpose. Amen. We have a higher calling.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, you know, one of those things, before we read this scripture, one of the things that just comes to mind is, you know, when you're younger and you see people that seem to have it all together, right? And they seem like, well, man, they've got it figured out, and maybe they're the popular ones, or they're the ones that they're going places, or, you know, everybody's kind of following them and they're a natural leader. But as you get older, you see those kind of people come and you see them go. And you see their lives fall apart.
Amen.
When they're not founded on God's word. So no matter how influential they seem, how cool they seem, how with it they seem, if they're not founded, if they're not living for God, if they're not surrendered to God, they're headed for trouble. And anybody following them is headed for trouble as well. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are His workmanship. Amen. Workmanship means that God is putting some effort into you.
Amen.
Amen. A workman, you know, let's read it. For His workmanship, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. He's determined, and He has created us for a purpose and for good works. And as part of His workmanship, as part of His creation, He's invested in you. And He has a vision for you. Amen. Every time a true workman goes to work, he has a vision of where he wants to take that. Whether it's a painting or a sculpture or something that he's building, he's got a vision in his mind. Amen. And he begins to work toward that vision. He begins to take that raw material and move it and shape it in that vision. And that's what he's doing with each and every one of us. We are His workmanship. Amen. And he's invested in it. Amen. He's pouring into you. He's sacrificed for you. He's sent gifts to you. He's sent everything that you have need of to bring you to this stature. Amen. And then if we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Brother Baker's been reading this one. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And of course, he's been bringing that out, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And brother, sister, if you've been called out of darkness, that means you're no longer walking in the darkness that everybody else is. That means you're seeing something. That means you're going to be strange. That means you're going to be an oddball. Amen. Just because you have sight in things that they don't see. And he said that you would be chosen. Now, all of these things are setting someone apart. Amen. And I think about Joseph, how he was set apart from his brothers by his father. He was favored by his father and set apart from them and given gifts. And his father just shown his affection on him. Well, brother, sister, that's how he shows his affection on his elect, those that are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Amen. Those that have value to him, those that he loves, that makes you different. It just does. Amen. We look at Israel and how God chose them out of the nations. He pulled them out of the nations and they weren't better, bigger, smarter, nothing. Amen. They were a backward nation in many ways, but yet he chose them, and that made them an oddball. It made them different than all the other nations. But oh, what a difference. Amen. They had the shout of the king in the camp. What a difference. Amen. But to the other nations, they were odd. They were strange. Amen. But brother, sister, our value comes from who made us. Our value doesn't come from what somebody else thinks of us. It doesn't come from what the world says about us. It doesn't come from what friends say about us, what peers say about us. Amen. It doesn't even come from what our parents say about us. It comes from what God says about us. Amen. He's the one that decides. Amen. Now, the greater the value, or the greater, I should say this, the more unique the treasure, the greater the value. You ever think about that? When I was a kid, we used to, I suppose they still do this, but we used to collect baseball cards and football cards. Amen? And so we would have these little books. Now, this is before the internet, but we had these little books, and we would get them periodically, and you could look through the little books, and it would tell you what they were worth. It would actually, every single one, a big, thick book. And you could look, you could get a card in a pack, such and such player, such and such year, such and such type of card. And you could look it up in this book and it would tell you how much it was worth. It would give you a value. And what would happen is the ones that they only printed a few of, the ones that were very rare, that there wasn't very many of them, they were very unique. You didn't just find them in any. The ones that you found in every pack that you'd go down, we'd go down to the store and we'd buy them, and they'd have bubble gum in them, and we'd save up our money and we would buy these packs of baseball cards or these packs of football cards. But there were some that it seemed like every other pack you'd get the same card. The same guy, nobody knows who he played for, right? But for some reason it was all, and you look it up in the book and it's like, yeah, that's worth a penny. Right? Nobody's going to give you any money for it. But sometimes you'd find one that was kind of rare. Right? They only printed one or two, or not very many of them. It was probably more than one or two. It was probably several thousand instead of several million or whatever, right? But the more rare it was, when you look it up in your book, and we, oh man, look at that one. That one's worth $2. Right? Hey, back then that was a lot of money. We were only paying like 50 cents for a pack. I mean, if you sold it for $2, you could buy, a bunch more packs, right? But then we would take care of that card. We'd put it in, we'd get a little sleeve and put it in that card in that little sleeve, and we never did anything with it. I think they're all still stuck in my closet somewhere. But the point, But the point is that the more unique they were, the value would go up. right? And they would place a higher value on something like, so somebody was a rookie and there were only so many of these printed, and man, it's rare. And so the value would go up the more unique it was. In other words, the more of an oddball it was. The less like all the rest, the more valuable it was. Amen? Because it had fewer and fewer peers. Amen? And when we, as his peculiar treasure, we become matchless or one of a kind.
Amen?
Amen.
The
more valuable we are. Amen? The more oddball we are, the more valuable we are in the kingdom of heaven. As children of God, we are unique and precious in his sight. Amen? Though oddballs in this present world, think of your value in the heavenly economy. Hallelujah. Much more than a baseball card, I can assure you. Amen? But you see, the environment that you're in matters. When you say whether you're an oddball or not. You've heard the term fish out of water? Well, that person's like a fish out of water. Well, what's a fish out of water? They're flopping around, right? You ever had a fish tank or something and a fish jumped out? I remember in grammar school, we had fish tanks in some of our classrooms, and sometimes the kids would be stupid and pull them out. And everybody's trying to catch the fish that's flopping all over the ground. Right? Because that fish doesn't belong out of the water. So they say, well, that person is just a fish out of water. They can't get their footing. They can't breathe, right? They're going to die. They don't belong there. They don't fit in. Amen? But in the water, a fish in water is not odd. Amen? So yes, we in the world, we are like a fish out of water. But amongst believers, we're not oddballs. Amen? We're odd to the world, but we shouldn't be misunderstood amongst each other. Is that right? Amongst each other, we should have understanding. And we should have recognition of the value of each individual child of God. Amen? Jesus told us that we would have love one for another. Amen. He never said that the world will love you. But he said that you will love one another. And that God will love you. Is that right? So you see, we're an oddball to the world, but we fit right in amongst the believers. Amongst the economy of God, in the presence of God.
Right.
So just because the world isn't going to appreciate you doesn't mean that you're not appreciated.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you don't have value, just that Satan's Eden doesn't value you. Amen?
Right.
We appreciate the things that God is doing in each other's lives. Amen. I appreciate it when I see our sisters living holiness. Amen. Dressing and living the way they should. I appreciate it when I see our brothers living holy lives.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We can fellowship around the supernatural, and it isn't odd to us. When we try to fellowship with somebody who doesn't believe, and we try to bring in the supernatural, they think it's odd. Amen. They think it's strange. We try to witness and tell them about what God has done to us, and you're strange to them. But when we fellowship, and we, that doesn't mean we shouldn't testify now. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not appreciated like it is to another believer. Another believer knows what you're talking about. Amen. They know that experience and they can appreciate it. And they say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. I know what you're going through. Amen. You tell me how the Lord spoke to you. I was in church and God spoke to me through the Word of God. And I say, hallelujah, I rejoice with you. Amen. That's not odd to me, because it's not foolishness of preaching to me. But you tell that to a coworker and they might kind of look at you funny. Amen. Now you should do it. You should do it. Just don't expect that you won't be odd because of it. Amen. We were, the brothers and I, we went to Sabino Canyon, like I mentioned on Friday. And we were just coming in there, and I was explaining to the brother, you know, it's such a popular place, you know, and many times when it's not record-breaking heat, that parking lot will be full. I mean, I've seen it full, and we're trying to get into the overflow parking, and so, you know, I was explaining to the brothers that, you know, the brother asked me, well, do people know what happened here? You know, and no, that's not why they're there. They're there because of the natural beauty, but they really don't understand. They don't have the revelation or the recognition that we have about what happened there. And honestly, you know, I'm happy. On one hand, it's a blessing to us to be able to go there and have the infrastructure, to have the trams, to be able to run, to have it open, to be able to go there to see those places. But on the other hand, if you want to see some of the most undressed women in the world, you'll see them there. Right? World and men too, by the way. Women and men.
Sure.
Amen. Obviously, I just try not to look at the women. The guys, it doesn't bother me, but the sisters wouldn't look at the men, right? Amen. But worldliness, right? And because they're running and exercising, and for some reason people think that you can't do that with clothes on. So it's just the truth. Amen. But it draws such a contrast. Amen. Here we are, we're three brothers. We were there to walk in the footsteps of the prophet, where the prophet had walked, recognizing the amazing things, the supernatural things that God has done for us in this hour in our generation. Amen. And how God has visited us, and how God has opened his word to us and blessed us. And the things that happened there are so precious to us. And yet, surrounded by all these worldly people, amen, we were oddballs. Amen, we were different. And it wasn't just because the brothers were from Zimbabwe and they had an accent. Amen. But we were all three of us. We were oddballs. Amen. People coming from around the world to see Sabino Canyon, but we were oddballs to the people there, but not to each other. These brothers had come from around the world. They are from a different country. They have a different culture that they were raised in. The different languages that they speak. They look different, but yet they are not an oddball to me. And I am not an oddball to them. Amen. But yet people around me that I might have more in common with from they're Americans, right? Raised in the same culture, so on and so forth. I'm an oddball to them. And they're odd to me. But these brothers were not oddballs to me. Amen. We were three oddballs. Amen. Hallelujah. But they fit right in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, brother, sister, if it wasn't that way, we should be concerned. Amen. Because we don't want to be comfortable in worldly settings. We never want to get to the place where those things don't bother us or don't grieve us. Amen. In fact, that's, you know, that scripture, those that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city. It was, and even righteous Lot, the Bible says, was grieved by the things that were done. Why? Because it's at enmity with us. Amen. We're not comfortable in a worldly setting. We're not comfortable with worldliness. And by the way, they're not comfortable with us. Amen. Let me read to you a couple more. How are we doing on time here tonight? Amen. All right, let's read the fourth seal. All right. The fourth seal, he says, as it gets later in the night, my eyes get more tired. He says, you know, I doubt whether I'd say 90% of the people on the earth ever know Jesus was here when he was here. All right, we know that, right? He just came to a small area. And there was a whole world out there. He says, so I doubt even a 90th of the people ever knowed he was here. You know, when Elijah prophesied, I doubt whether there was hardly anybody that knowed he was. They knowed that there was a crank up there, some old fanatic, but they hated him. Sure, what they called an oddball. Listen to this. I think any born-again Christian is kind of an oddball to the world. Because you've been changed. Hallelujah. Now, if you haven't been changed, you can fit in. Amen. But he says, I think any born-again Christian is kind of an oddball to the world because you've been changed. You're from another world. Your spirit is from across the chasm. And the thing here is such a messed up thing. If you're not different, there's something wrong. You are still too earthbound. You ought to be heavenly minded, and heaven lives by the word. You want to know if you've got the Holy Ghost or not? Are you fitting in? Amen. The voice of God in this last day. He says, let's just take, say, another 5 minutes quickly. Will you stay that long? Or a few minutes, he says. He doesn't want to hold it down to five. Well, this few is a little more general. Amen. Now I'll hurry. He says, let's just take some who heard this voice and obeyed it. How it made them act and what it made them to do. Now I'm going to bypass a lot of scripture here just in order to get right straight to you. How it changed their lives and all of them that was about them, how they become the oddball. We call an oddball. He says, every man that ever did believe God was considered an oddball. That's good company. Amen. He says, because if you're in the trend of the world, there's something wrong with you. My. This cuts it down. Amen. This brings it home. If you're in the trend of the world, there's something wrong with you. To be a Christian, you have to be an oddball. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions of the world. We read that scripture. Amen. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. See, Brother Branham used both those scriptures as an oddball. Amen. So, we want to be careful that we don't get too comfortable, that we're not too satisfied with this world. Amen? This world is not our home. We're not supposed to fit in this world. And anywhere that we go and anything that we do in this world, we should ask the question, would Jesus be welcome here? Amen? Would Jesus be welcome in this place that I'm going? Amen? I'm about to go someplace with my friends. Would Jesus be welcome here? Would Jesus want to go here? Amen? We don't want him to feel out of place with us. Think about Simon's house. Amen. When Jesus went to Simon's house, he was not made welcome. They didn't give him a kiss of welcome. They didn't wash his feet. They didn't make him feel welcome. He sat in the corner different. He was made to feel out of place because he wasn't amongst friends. He wasn't amongst his called. Amen? They were from different points of view and different places. That was the worldly religious group. He didn't fit in there. He's an oddball to the world. But he fits here among us. Amen? So we should wash his feet. We want Jesus to be welcome among us. Amen. We don't want him to be the oddball here. Amen. He was already an oddball in his life. He was alone and he had to stand alone. And he had to face persecution. And he had to face ridicule. But we don't want him to be welcome in our lives. We want him to feel, to fit in with us. We don't want to do anything in our life that makes him feel unwelcome. We don't want to go places that make him feel unwelcome in our lives. Amen? If you are uncomfortable in his presence, I suggest that you're the one that needs to change. Amen? People, religious people that are uncomfortable in the presence of God, uncomfortable in a Holy Ghost meeting, uncomfortable when the Spirit of God begins to move. Who's the oddball here? Amen? We don't want God, we don't want the Holy Spirit to be the oddball left out. We want him to be welcome. Amen? Screaming and shouting. Remember, Brother Branham talked about there was those that didn't like that. They said, I can't stand it when they scream and it makes the hair stand up on the back of my head. And remember, he said, if you get to heaven, that's the way it's going to be. There's going to be singing. There's going to be shouting. This will be the quietest place you'll ever go. In hell, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But in heaven, there's going to be this praise. There's going to be this worship. There's going to be crying out. There's going to be a shout of the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So what makes him uncomfortable? Think about it. Now that might make someone feel uncomfortable. I don't care if they're uncomfortable. I want him to be comfortable. So what makes him uncomfortable is formalism. Amen? What makes him uncomfortable is selfishness. What makes him uncomfortable is lukewarmness. Somebody who's wishy-washy. Somebody who won't take a stand one way or another. Somebody who will ride the fence. Who won't stand for him. That's what makes him uncomfortable. Hallelujah. I'd rather stand alone with him and him be comfortable with my stand than stand with the whole world. I'd rather have a meeting, amen, an old-fashioned meeting where he is welcome and he feels comfortable rather than to try and placate some demon that's sitting on somebody's shoulder. Amen. Somebody that comes with a wet blanket and tries to subdue the moving of God in his church. Amen. I want him to be welcome. I'm not interested in fitting in with worldly demons. Hallelujah. Cold, lukewarm worship with no power, that makes him uncomfortable. That makes him feel unwelcome. Dead, but with an appearance of religion. Calling the name of the message. Claiming to be under this end time word, but dead, twice plucked up by the roots. That makes him uncomfortable. He doesn't want to be there. He's not welcome there. They're making him an oddball. Amen. He's the oddball in that kind of a service. Think about that. Making Jesus the oddball again. It's not his type of service. He believes in sincerity. Heartfelt. Real experience. Real religion. Freedom. Amen? That's what our prophet taught us. Amen. Let's read this from the Message Respects. Brother Branham says, some time ago in New Albany, while I was standing there talking to a sinner, leading him to Christ, a big old rough-handed man in a garage, a man that was a friend of mine. His son-in-law run the garage next door. And I was standing there preaching at a dinner hour, eating a sandwich and talking to him about God. Man, he's witnessing. And through the daytime, I'd find somewhere where I could go at dinner time and try and win a soul to Christ. He said, Mr. Branham, he said, I was just a boy preacher myself. He said, Mr. Branham, said, my mother had that kind of religion, that heartfelt religion. And the tears was running down his cheeks. I said, how long has she been gone? He said, years. She always prayed for me. I said, the God that heard her prayers is trying to answer them right now for her. And this man walked in there and he said, well, hello. And he was drunk. He said, hey, Billy, listen. Anytime you want to come over to my garage, he says, you come, but don't bring that old holy roller religion of yours over there. I turned and looked at him and said, anywhere Christ is not welcome, I won't be. I'm not coming. If that's your attitude, amen, he would grieve the Spirit of God by going there, right? Anywhere Christ is not welcome, I'll not be. He might be an oddball there, but he's not going to be an oddball in my presence, with my heart, in my heart. And so he turned around and said, I'll get next to yourself, boy. And I just heard in my heart a voice say, you reap what you sow. It would be better for you that a millstone was hanged at your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. You see how precious God's oddballs are.
Amen.
In his sight. When he spoke those words, that's what he says, of one of these little ones. He said, don't despise these my little ones. If you do, it's better for a millstone to be hanged around your neck and dropped in the sea. Amen? Don't despise one of them, because they are my treasures.
Amen.
Despise means to just devalue. It means to not recognize the importance or the value of them. And he hears this voice in his heart say, you reap what you sow. It would be better for you if a millstone was hanged at your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. And his own son-in-law, that very same afternoon, run over him with a 2-ton Chevrolet truck loaded down and mashed him down into the ground. See, you've got to respect God. God demands respects. He demands it. And so Miriam, he's speaking about Miriam and Aaron and Moses. Miriam ought to know better. She didn't respect Moses. So Aaron ought to know better that Moses was led by the Spirit of God to do what he was doing. That's why God said, touch not my anointed. Amen. But he said that about his little ones, his oddballs, the ones that are different for his sake, the ones that stand out in the world because they're different. But to him, they're precious. Amen. That's a pretty aggressive response, right? I mean, that is immediate judgment. He didn't say it went on for years. He said that same afternoon. Judgment struck that man because of what he had said about one of God's little ones. Amen? And what he had said about this precious experience that we have in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So he moves in sincerity and he moves in faith. And he feels welcome when we surrender. Amen. And I want him to be welcome, don't you? We want him to be here where he is welcome. Now, brother, sister, sometimes maybe you feel like the oddball in church. Maybe you're the only one singing and praising and shouting. Amen. Maybe you're the only one everybody else is dragging in. Amen. And you're the only one that somehow God has moved on your heart and you feel like you're going it alone. Well, that's okay. Amen. Sometimes it takes somebody in the lead to break the wind. But don't worry, your brothers and sisters will be right behind you eventually. Sometimes it just takes a little longer. Amen. But understand that we want to create that atmosphere where he is welcomed. And brother, sister, just going down that path, we need each other. God has placed us together for a purpose. There's a reason why we're not just individuals spread all over the world, but that he brings together local bodies. That he brings believers together. That he brings families together. Sometimes it seems totally random. Amen? Yeah, I think about, you know, how amazing it is. And you think about all the people in the world. And you think about the, you know, especially when you're younger and you're going through school, and you end up with these people for all these kids, right? I have kids that I went to school with from preschool. So we were, how old are you, 3 years old when you start preschool, something like that? 3 or 4 years old? I was with some of them through high school, and some of them I saw in college. It's like, man, are you just following me around? I mean, I've known each other since we were 3 or 4. And God just puts you in together with people like that. He puts you in a family for a reason. He gave you mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents and family. He gives us family for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. It's not just random. Amen? And the people that are in this body, in this church, it's not random. He brings people into your life not at random. He brings them in for specific purposes. Amen? And we need each other. We didn't choose our family. But we must appreciate that. We must appreciate what God has doing, and we shouldn't despise it or minimize it. Amen? What God has done and is doing in our church body through each other. It's not just the pastor. It's not just ministers. It's all brothers and sisters. Amen? And my earnest desire, as we're speaking to the young people tonight, is that they, to see them united. Amen? To see them united as brothers and sisters, as believers. Because they're already oddballs. They're already going to be oddballs at school. You're already going to be oddballs in sports and friends and different things like that. Let's not be oddballs here. Amen. Amen? We want to make sure that we don't make someone feel like an oddball. We want to embrace. Amen. That's why we don't want cliques. We don't want, you know, little groups here and little groups there. We want everybody to support and pray for each one and another and build each other up and help each other and fellowship with one another. Support each other, because you, each other, you're going through things that adults are not going through. Amen? And you can pray for another young person in a way that I can't, or that someone else can't. That's not to say I can't pray for them, but your prayer is different. A brother, a sister can pray for her sister in a way that's unique. She can touch God in a way. She can intercede in a way for her sister that nobody else in the whole world can. Amen. We know that a mother is that way. Right? A mother can pray and get a hold of God in a way that's unique. That only a mother can. But it's true about brothers and sisters. Amen. And brothers and sisters in Christ. Young people have a shared experience, you're going through similar trials. You're going through similar times in your life. Amen? Don't make sure that you don't cause someone else to be an oddball. Hallelujah. We're all different, yet we're all the same in that we're being molded and shaped into His image. We're all the same in that we're children of God, and we're trying and pressing the battle, and we're part of His workmanship. Amen? Yet unique pieces that He's working on. And you know, I was thinking as I was kind of looking at this today, I was thinking about someone who's a genius. And someone who's we would consider just in the natural, you know, a genius, they're always a little different. Right? And usually unappreciated. Many of them are unappreciated their entire lives. They're not even appreciated until they're gone. Maybe many years later, somebody looks back and goes, man, can you believe that? That person, I mean, they were a genius. Look what they came up with. But at the time, they were unappreciated. Everybody looks at them and goes, that guy is just crazy. That nut, right, didn't fit in anywhere. That's genius, unappreciated. But the workmanship of His hands, the precious workmanship of His hands, amen, is an oddball to the devil's world. Amen. Brother Branham said that we must go through the hall of critics. Amen? Amen? The church, each individual, each person of each member of his bride, each member of his body, must go through the hall of critics to be able then to go to the hall of fame. Amen? Amen? So as a masterpiece, we have to be poked and prodded. In the hall, the critics, that's criticizing and poking and prodding and testing and trying, and the enemy will attempt to find little chinks in your armor and buttons that he can push. That's what a critic does. Amen? But you have to go through that. Sometimes you're going to stand alone with God. You're never truly alone. When you stand for him, sometimes nobody else will stand with you except for him. He'll always stand with you. Amen? But sometimes you have to just be willing to stand alone. Amen. You may not even have to go through a time where you're really standing alone, but you have to be ready and willing to stand alone. And God knows, amen, he knows if you will stand alone. And when we're saying alone, of course, we mean alone with him. You're never alone. Amen. He's always with you. But alone in terms of nobody else humanly will stand with you. Amen. But, brother, sister, I know this. If you do stand alone for him, and you're willing to stand alone for him, he will bring others. He will give you fellowship. He will bring others beside you into your life. It'll just be for a season many times, or it'll be for a circumstance. You stand alone, you stand the test, and then he'll bring a friend to come pray for you, to be with you. He will bring those around you. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's read these. I've got just four more quotes. Amen. All right. I need to wrap this up here tonight. Perseverant. Listen to this. Perseverant, a priest in 1964. He said that woman wasn't that type. She was no hybrid plant. So he's talking about just the woman that was willing to stand alone. She got a hold of something and she didn't have to, her baby to, you know, he didn't have to baby her and spray her. So he's talking about a plant, right? A plant that needs constant care. A hybrid plant that has to be in a greenhouse and has to have everything perfect all the time, right? Or else it'll die. It'll wilt because it can't stand a little bit of heat or a little bit of cold. That's what he's talking about. And she says, this woman wasn't that type. She wasn't a hybrid plant. She had got a hold of something. She didn't have to baby her and spray her and say, now, darling, please, let me beg you. You should come down. No, sir. Everything tried to hinder her. Listen to this. A real Christian fights for his position. He has to stand alone, him and God. And he fights every inch of ground. You're going to have to stand alone at some time with God. And you're going to have to fight for every inch of ground that you gain. But listen to what Brother Brown says. He says, you don't have to baby him around. That's what's the matter with the Pentecostal church today. We got Pentecostal babies that's just been sprinkled and sprayed with this and that and the other till it's run out to a bunch of hybrids. What we need today is a house cleaning from the pulpit all the way to the janitor and starting over again. Get some genuine faith born in the people. Amen. But you're going to have to fight for your position. And sometimes that fighting just means standing alone and being an oddball. Just saying, I stand for this. This is what I believe. And people ridicule you and make fun of you and they won't want to be around you and they'll say they're strange. Let's go leave them alone to their weirdness. Amen? And sometimes that's it, standing alone. And every one of us goes through that. Sometimes it's with friends, sometimes it's with our family. Remembering the Lord. He says, I imagine tonight that Hagar could have something to think about too when she had been put out and misunderstood. Now, there's many of us here that can think about Hagar, her being misunderstood, who walks the right life with God, who takes the straight and narrow way, but knows what to be misunderstood means. He says, I'm misunderstood. Every person, all brethren that try to live right, and you sisters, you're misunderstood. Your neighbors think you're some old model. Now, when he says old model, he doesn't mean model like a magazine model. He means like a really old, like an old car, right? It's an old model. He says, your neighbors think you're some old model. They try to throw off on you. Why don't you attend these societies? Why don't you have these card parties and things? And you shun those things. You're misunderstood. Amen. Why won't you wear pants? Why won't you cut your hair? Why won't you wear makeup? Why won't you wear skinny jeans? Why won't you wear shorts? Why won't you listen to rock music? Why won't you drink alcohol? Why won't you do drugs? Why won't you go to the parties? Why won't you go to the movies? Why won't you live like the world? Amen? And you shun those things, you're misunderstood. You're going to be misunderstood by the world, but not in heaven. Amen. I believe when you take a stand for something like that, I believe the Lord is pleased. So that's my child. Amen. Hallelujah. The identified masterpiece of God, just a couple more here and we'll wrap this up. He says, to think that the man that was made in the image of his creator was given a wall to stand behind that the word could never fail. That's the Christian hope. It's his shield. It's his armor. It's his rock today is to stay behind the word. Every believer. Now you must never get from behind that. When you do, you're opening the door to the enemy. And that's what compromise does. Even the smallest compromise opens the door to the enemy. Amen? He says, when they say, oh, well, you can do a little of this and a little of that. You know, just a little bit of that music won't hurt you. Or just a little bit of this makeup on your face, that's not going to... What difference does that make? Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. God wants you to separate yourself from everything that's called sin. Completely set aside for Him and for He only. He has a purpose in your life. Oh, I hope you hear this, young people. He has a purpose in your life. Each individual that no one else on the face of the earth can take your place. God's got something for you. You're made like that. You did that way for a purpose. God's sovereign in His word. We have to take a stand, and many times we have to stand alone. And then God can place us, when we take a stand, then God can place us where we truly belong. If we're compromising, He can't put us where we're supposed to be. We don't fit in where we're supposed to fit if we're over here compromising with the world. Amen? We have to take a stand. We can't be a fence straddler. You know what a fence straddler is? A lot of people don't grow up around fences. We used to have, you know, the fences that would hold the cattle and things, and they were made of barbed wire, right? And a fence straddler is, I'm trying to be over here, but no, I'm over here. No, I'm over here. You're on one side of the fence or the other. You're trying to be in both places at once. But you can't do that. If you stay there, you're going to end up in the barbed wire. Amen? You can't be a fence straddler. You can't be afraid to be an oddball. You can't be afraid to be different. Amen? If you're afraid of that, the remedy is to get alone with God and die out to the world. Die out to yourself. I know this is what drove me to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost in my life. Because I knew I was a fence straddler. I knew that I was sometimes, depending on who I was with, I was this way or I was that way. It was easy for me to just compromise a little here, compromise a little there. I didn't, I didn't want to be an oddball. I knew I didn't have the power to stand out. And that's what the Holy Ghost gives you. The Holy Ghost, new birth, gives you the power to be an oddball. Let me just read you one more, and then we'll stand tonight. Amen. This is Doors In Door. He says, but see, it's like the church has to pass through the hall of critics. I quoted, I just paraphrased this a little earlier, but he says, we go through, and he says, you're going to be called Holy Roller. That's just a flat statement. If you're a true born-again Christian, you're going to be called Holy Roller. He says, you're going to be called everything. But if you could only hold your position in Christ, then someday he'll take us to the Hall of Fame. But first, we've got to stand criticism. This is where the little of us stand. There is where it shows. He that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child and not a child of God. Before I was born again by the Holy Ghost, it was too easy for me to compromise. And I'm not talking big compromises. I'm talking just small things. Little compromises here and there. He that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child and not a child of God. No matter how much he's joined church, whatever he's done, he is still, if he cannot stand chastisement, he's illegitimate. Now, understand, chastisement, it's not just somebody calling you names, but it's also correction, right? It's also God correcting you, right? Sometimes he uses the enemy as a tool to come against you, and sometimes his word comes and cuts as chastisement. So this is more about an attitude than anything. It's the attitude in your heart that says, Lord, change me. Amen? Lord, whatever it takes, I receive it. I will take the It's not about not making mistakes. Don't misunderstand me. That's not what we're talking about. It's the attitude of, oh, I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me. Let me move on. Amen? It's accepting that correction. He says, if he can't stand that, he's illegitimate and he's not a real child of God. But a real, genuine child of God don't care what the world says. Just flat out. I don't care what the world's. Brother Doug always puts it this way. You've heard him say this lots of times. He says, I don't care what the Pope thinks. Right? Who else besides the Pope? I don't care what the President thinks. Name a famous person. I don't care what Taylor Swift thinks. I don't know any other famous people. I don't care what so-and-so actor or actress thinks. Amen? I don't care what my unsaved parent thinks. I don't care what my coworker that's worldly thinks. When it comes to the things of God, right? I mean, of course, you know, if it's something natural, then sure. But we're talking about spiritual things. He says, a real genuine child of God don't care what the world says. Everything else is secondary. He's got his mind on Christ, and that settles it. Whatever Christ says do, he'll do it. Wherever the Lamb goes, they're with him. Wherever. And then you see his appearing, his presence, and what he does. He's always with his people, his bride, and he is courting her. And someday, there's going to be a wedding supper. Amen. Let's stand tonight. So, brother, sister, you're either going to fit in hell or in God's economy. Right? Where do we want to fit in? Amen? Do we want to be in God's Hall of Fame? That's where I want to be. I want to be in God's Hall of Fame. I want to fit in heaven. Amen? So I want to encourage you tonight, don't be afraid to take a stand. He's called us to be brave. And he gives us the power to be brave by his Spirit. Amen? He said, be of good courage. God is with you. Let's stand for the truth. Amen. Let's take a stand. Let's not compromise and try and fit in. Amen. Let's, we have a piano player? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can play something, brother. Amen. We want to stand for the truth tonight. Is that right? As I said before, lukewarm is the condition of this age. And lukewarm is just in between. Lukewarm is somebody who sometimes is over on this side and sometimes is over on that side. They're not all in either way. He said, I would that you were cold or hot and not lukewarm, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that's lukewarm. It tries to just let you just have enough church, enough religion, just to satisfy, just to say I'm a Christian, but not be all the way in. Amen? But we want to be all in, don't we? Maybe you're sitting here tonight, you're saying, well, I don't feel like I'm all in. Well, the beautiful thing is you can get all in. Amen? Die out at an old-fashioned altar to the old man. I was just reading a quote this morning to the church there where Brother Branham says, you don't just come to an altar and then, you know, get a little something and then get up and then come to an altar again and back and back and back and back. He says, don't do that. Just go and die. Just die out. Go to the altar and let the old man die out. And then you won't be in and out and up and down. Amen? This is the time to be hot. This is the time to be on fire. This is the time to be a real genuine child of God. Amen. And a real genuine child of God is real no matter who they're around. No matter what circumstance they find themselves in, they're still a real genuine child of God. So don't be one way at church and then another way around your friends. And another way at school. Amen? We call that a hypocrite, right? Someone who's trying to be something they're not. But we want to be real. We want to be real Christians. Amen? We want to be the same, whether we're among friends at school, people at work, we're at church, wherever we are, family at home, we want to be the same. Amen. And if that means sometimes we're odd, so be it. I'll gladly be that. Because with Him, I'm not odd. It's worth it. How many knows it's worth it? Amen. You testify. I know. I've been through it. Amen. I've been an oddball. I've been persecuted, but I know it's worth it. I will trade all this whole world, but give me Jesus. Trade it all for Him. I don't care what I have to go through. It's worth it. Hallelujah. To be in that hall of fame. And brother, sister, one day we're going to fit in permanently. Amen. When we cross over and we get those new bodies and we're sitting down at that massive table spread, there'll be no oddballs there. And you'll never be an oddball again. Hallelujah. Amen. No, far from it. You will be blessed. Hallelujah. Isn't it worth it? Amen. Let's pray. Bow our heads and pray. Oh, Father, how we love you tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray something was said that would just help. Lord, something to encourage us, Lord. Lord, maybe just encourage a young person, Father. I know what it's like, Lord. I know the pressures, Lord, of this world. I understand that, Lord. I know. I've been there. I've experienced it too. Each and every one of us has, Lord. But we also know that the power that you give through the Holy Spirit, the reason that you give that power is to be able to stand, to be able to be an oddball to the world. to be able to stand alone if that's what's required. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would touch each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, I believe, Lord God, that you had me speak this for a purpose, Lord. Father, and I pray that you would just move, Lord, on hearts tonight. Lord, those young people, Father, maybe they've been acting one way at church and maybe acting a different way at school, a different way with friends, Father. They know that that's not right, Father. They know there's something missing there, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just move on their hearts tonight. Lord, that you would give them what they have need, that they would be so hungry, Lord, to want to change that, realizing, oh God, that we can't live between worlds. We can't try and please the world and please you. We can't serve God and mammon or the world. We have to choose one or the other. We have to get in or get out. There's only two choices in this. And the most miserable existence we can live is to live halfway between. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any that are in that place, maybe they find themselves there tonight, they recognize, they say, that's me, Lord. I've been halfway. I've been in and out, and I haven't been willing to be an oddball. I haven't been willing to stand alone, to be made fun of or to be ridiculed, or I just want to fit in with worldly people. Father, I pray that you would just draw them tonight. I was that way, Lord. Lord, and you came when I sought you. I said, Lord, I can't go on this way. I don't want to go on this way. I need you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would put such a hunger in their hearts, oh God. Lord, that they would cry out to you, Lord. That they would realize there's nothing more important, oh God, than to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, that they would just surrender tonight, Lord. Because we know that's what it takes. Just surrender. Say, Lord, I give up. I can't do it. I've been trying to do it on my own. I've been trying to be strong enough on my own, and I can't do it. And none of us can. But through you, by your Holy Spirit, you give us the power. You give us the strength, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they would surrender to that, Lord. They would just give up tonight. That they would just come to you and say, Lord, I surrender. I ask you, Lord, to give me the overcoming power because I can't make it on my own. I can't do it, Lord. How we love you and thank you, Father. I pray that you just move on every heart tonight. This isn't limited to just young people, Lord. It's anyone who finds themselves in that place. We all need to come and surrender. Say, Lord, I've been trying in my own strength to do it, and I can't. I need you, Lord. Father, I pray that you just draw each one tonight, Father, as you see fit, Father, as your Holy Spirit moves on the word that was preached tonight. May you just speak to every heart, Father, we pray. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it oh, is that your heart's cry tonight? Hallelujah. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like. Sing it again. Change my heart, oh God. Oh, change my heart, oh God. Oh, really mean it tonight. Don't just say it, mean it. Make it ever true. My heart, oh God. Oh yes, Lord, may I be. You are the potter, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, you are the potter. One more time, I am the potter. Captured by a love I can't explain, and now you have me, and I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender, my life is not my own. And I belong to you. I belong to you. Yes, I belong to you. I've been captured by a love I can't. Oh, let's worship Him tonight. Now you have me, and I'm forever changed. We leave it all behind. Everything I've ever known. Hallelujah. Now I surrender. Surrender to Him tonight, won't you? Just let Him have His way. Let go, amen. I belong to you, Lord. Oh, I belong to you. Hallelujah. Yes, I belong to you. And I'm a man. Everything I've ever known, I surrender. My life is not my own, and I belong to you. I belong. Oh, you just surrender to Him tonight. Hallelujah.
I give myself.